Before we get to tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, our friends over at Tommy John. Now, when men and women upgrade their tattered, outdated, multi-pack underwear to Tommy John, they've got now the most comfortable underwear on the planet. People are raving about it because Tommy John's underwear are so light and comfortable, you'll forget that you're even wearing them, because Tommy John's men and underwear sport a no wedgie guarantee. Finally, you'll be free from the wedge of extinction. No more. You don't need to worry about that with Tommy John underwear, with the comfortable stay put waistbands and a range of fabrics that are luxuriously soft and designed to move with you. Plus, Tommy John has dress shirts and undershirts that always stay tucked, ridiculously soft loungewear and go anywhere apparel that's versatile enough to go from the boardroom to boxing class. And for ladies, the new Air collection is made from quick drying antimicrobial fabric with seamless bonded edges that offer a no visible panty line guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Tommy John is so sure you're going to love the fit and feel. It's backed by their best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. That means if you don't love your first pair, you'll get a full refund. Tommy John, no adjustments needed. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Rob now. Get 20% off your first order. That's at TommyJohn, TommyJohn.com/Rob for 20% off Tommy John underwear at TommyJohn.com/Rob.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the lame a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Come on, God. Come on, God.
Raise the mast. Stephen Fishback and I are here. Survivor Know-It-Alls back at the merge. Stephen Fishback. What a merge night.
Lame.
No, not lame. Not lame. Stephen, so many different things to talk about tonight. And I really, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that it's Joe. Joe the Boot at the merge. And he seemed to just really be... Did he accept his fate? Was he totally blindsided? We'll talk about it here tonight with the great Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here, Rob. I'm glad to be talking to you. It's an interesting episode. I'm excited to talk about strategy.
Yeah.
Survivor strategy.
That's the best kind. All right. So here we are. We are streaming live here on merge night of Survivor. We got to see the returnees from the Edge of Extinction. Breaking news at this hour. Rick Devins is back, and more on that to come later on in this hour. We'll take your questions. Hashtag RHAP and discuss everything from a very busy night on Survivor, Stephen. And of course, we've got a lot to do this week on the podcast. I'm going to be speaking with your friend of mine, Randy Bailey, tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting. He's always a great guest.
Yes. And he's probably just going to be glowing about all the things that he loves this season. So we'll talk.
Does he love this season?
Probably.
Yeah, he's always so positive. Mm-hmm. That's like his brand.
Yeah. And then Haley Strong is going to be my guest on the feedback show this week.
Oh,
yeah. And then we're going to be talking with a Survivor podcaster, TV writer Scott Chernoff on This Week in Survivor. And of course, we'll get into the Wiggle Room this week. But get your questions.
Who's that way?
What? This Week in Survivor?
The Wiggle Room. Josh Wiggler.
Josh Wiggler, yes.
Oh, there you go. That's great.
The titular Josh Wiggler there in the Wiggle Room. And then we're going to get into everything with you guys tonight. Hashtag RJP. Email your questions in for Randy or for the show Survivor at robhasawebsite.com. Steven, your boy, Joe.
I know. Listen, I have to give credit to Ron for accomplishing what I was not able to do myself.
Fulfilling the fishback density.
yeah. You are my density. You know, hear a great quote, like whenever Joe is, you know, whenever Joe, it's possible to take out Joe, you should vote out Joe or whatever it was, something along those lines. But I actually think this was the wrong move, Rob.
Okay, yeah, I think this is a great conversation tonight of the comma six. And yeah. Boy, these returning players, do they have some egg on their face or what? This comma six is running circles around these returning players. And yeah, they turned, you know, Kelly, Joe, and David Wright into a circular firing squad tonight.
Yes. That is the top story. I think regardless of whether you think it was right for them to vote out Joe or you think it was right for them to vote out Kelly, the way that they had everybody like within the Lesu group and then Joe and Aurora as well voting for each other, you know, there's no greater way on Survivor to pit someone against someone else than to like trick them into voting for each other. So what we had was Kelly, Lauren, and Wardog all voted for David. You had Aurora and Joe all voted for Devins, and you had Devins and David. They voted for Wentworth. I mean, what a great way to stir up animosity. You know, my fear with, oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that I really, this was so exciting to see this play out. And I think that we have to start with the credit with Julie and Ron. Really seem like that they have emerged as the leaders of the comma six based on what we're seeing. But, you know, kudos to all of them for really just completely having, you know, 2 and 3 time returning players just completely spun around here on this merge vote. And for some of them, this is their first tribal council.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really, really impressive. That's right. I think this is the first time that Julie has gone to tribal council, right?
And Julie, and Ron. Yeah, first tribal council. And Ron is so fun to watch on the show. That
I love Ron. I mean, I love Ron.
Ron. He's just so much fun to watch on the show. And you know, I feel like everything he does is with a purpose. And even when you know they're talking about the dynamic. Dynamics and everything at the merge and you know what's going to happen, and he's talking about how like he didn't want to swap. He's like, I love comma, and you know, and that's like to put Joe at ease also, you know, he checked he's been stalking Joe, he checked his bag, but it's like, hey, Joe's part of comma, love comma, and just, you know, keep Joe happy. And I felt like that there were other people like Victoria who slipped up at this tribal council where she's like, why would we vote out Devins? There's people that are much bigger threats than, and then you saw Joe get very, you know, annoyed about that. And she said, well, I didn't mean like physical threats. There's other types of threats in the game, too. It doesn't have to be you, Joe, even though it was. And, you know, had he played enough, if he had an idol, you know, who knows if that would have tripped him up. But yeah, let's go on, because you want to talk about that. You think that they made the wrong decision to go after Joe and not Kelly here.
Yeah. And again, I do want to reiterate that I think the important thing is they came together and then just played everybody else off perfectly. You know, Julie had this great quote this episode where, you know, she and Ron and some of the others were sort of hashing it out. And she said, you know, we can come up with a million different, you know, options here. The important thing is that we vote as a group. And I think that is such a key point, and not to get lost, is that like, you know, sometimes when you're choosing between option A and option B, you're splitting hairs and you're basically, you know, inventing reasons why it should be one of those two. But the important thing is coming together and voting together. And they really succeeded.
They nailed that.
My feeling with Joe is that, look, and again, like, it's very possible that someone like Joe could win out. And I totally understand Ron's nervousness about that, having been in the exact same position myself. But my fear is that the comma six is still just six. And if you keep Joe around for one more vote, that keeps Joe on your side, that keeps Aurora on your side, you vote out Kelly, that really undermines that Lesu group. You know, suddenly Wardog and Lauren are sort of adrift. You know, there's really no, it cuts, you know, I think that that would really kneecap the Lesu group in a more essential way and give yourself a few, you know, you still have a lot of chances to vote out Joe. You know, he's not going to win every single one of them. You hope, but ultimately that's it. You know, I think like if they just could like tighten up for one more vote and get, you know, we've seen on so many different seasons that tribes turn on themselves before they vote out the underdog tribe, and then the underdog tribe comes back. So
yes.
So
I'm really excited where we are tonight after this vote in terms of the gameplay, because I think this is a fascinating discussion of Kelly versus Joe. And I do think that this was the right, they made the right call to, I agree with the move to vote out Joe here instead of Kelly. And it really all could have almost backfired if they would have voted for Kelly, that Kelly also has an idol, which she did not play. So it's hard to say good move, bad move. You know, you could put the votes on Kelly and then knock her out with an idol, which would be fantastic. Or if Kelly gets an inkling that the vote is for her, she plays her idol and now all of a sudden then knocks out Rick Devins.
Well, idols aside, why do you think that it's better to vote out Joe rather than voting out Kelly?
I think that the reason that they were able to voting out Joe was so powerful is just to go back to this idea of the circular firing squad. If you are going to make this move and take out Joe, one, they know that Joe did not win immunity, even though he went to like the last three people in the immunity challenge, I believe. Then right, also Ron has, you know, because of what Ron did with Julie a couple weeks ago, they know he doesn't have an idol. How long right. will he not have an idol for? Who's to say? But they know at this vote tonight, Joe Anglim does not have an idol. He does not have immunity. And you have the opportunity to take him out and then also have the other side completely reeling, where Kelly is voting for who did Kelly vote for? Who did Kelly and Lauren voted for?
Kelly, David, and I'm sorry, Kelly, Lauren, and Wardog voted for David.
They voted for David. Okay, so yeah. Joe and Aurora voted for Devins, and then David and Devins voted for Kelly. So the other side is going to potentially, this is the key part here, the other is just that you are banking on that the other side will not get their act together. Now here, there is no foolproof plan here, because now we come into next week's episode, and this is going to be very exciting. And I think the topic of a lot of the conversation this week, could the circular firing squad get their act together? Because if that's the case, you have all of the people that voted wrong. There are six in all. Could they potentially be able to get together against the comma six? And the comma six does not have a majority there in that scenario. So they need to figure something out. Now, you would think that based on all those people voting for each other at the last vote, that they will be able to, that side will stay unorganized. But that side also now has three immunity idols. And that's the part of the game that they don't know. The comma six, and now they could compare notes. Say, do you have an idol? Do you have an idol? Do you have an idol? Like, where are all the idols?
Well, I think you're sort of making the case why it doesn't make sense for Joe, right? Like, I still haven't been convinced why it makes sense to do Joe over Kelly, because either way, wait, hold on a second. Let me make my point. Either way, whether it's Joe or it's Kelly, you've got that circular firing squad. But if you keep Joe and Aurora around and you get rid of Kelly, you are really undermining the other six, and you're still like maintaining some trust with Joe and Aurora. So you know, you're setting up this possible thing next week where that sort of six that's been left out says to each other, like, hey, we got totally played, and if we don't regroup, we're all going to be screwed. I don't think that's an impossible scenario. So, you know, for that to not happen, you know, that then voting out Kelly would have really, I think, cemented the comma six's dominance, where you'd have that comma six the two of Aurora and Joe as kind of on the outside of that group, and then they could just pick off the lesser group before, you know, next.
But do you feel like there was confidence there with Joe and with Aurora? They did not vote with the comma six. It did not seem like that they received the plan from the comma six. So
well, that's because that plan was voting out Joe. So Joe did not vote to vote out Joe.
Right. So
although that has happened.
Yeah. Look, I don't think that either one is perfect. I don't think that there is a slam dunk here, but I just love the beauty of the fact that they all voted correctly and the other side all voted for each other. That it's just a amazing Survivor sight to see.
Yeah, it was great. That part was definitely great. Although I do think on the margin, you know, you could still do that exact same plan and vote out Wentworth, who I think is probably more dangerous in this situation because she is running up and down the beach scheming. I mean, you know, one thing we didn't talk about was Joe's plan was to sit in camp and paint. And now some people say that was terrible strategy. I think that was Joe's strategy, was to let me remove myself from the strategic flow of this game. I'm already the biggest physical threat out here. You know, if I'm running up and down the beach, making moves and masterminding schemes, I'm going to be an even bigger target. But if everyone sees me sitting in camp, painting this flag while they're all, you know, not talking to anyone while they're all scrambling strategically, maybe it will lessen my threat level. Well, that turned out not to be the case, but you know, I think that he is less of a danger to sort of flip the game upside down than Kelly is.
See, I thought that that was a really bad look for Joe, and nobody is worried about Joe Anglim, the strategic threat. People are worried about Joe Anglim, the physical threat. So if he would have been, you know, the first person out in the challenge on purpose, then I feel like that would have had maybe something like, oh boy, Joe really stinks in the challenges this year. Yeah, and right. But instead, that it almost seemed like he didn't care. And that scene with Ron, I think, was really important. And Ron tells us in the confessional, he's like, Joe made a mistake. I asked him about who he was going to vote for, and he didn't give me an answer. And so Ron, one of his few, potential allies in the game, that he was not giving him anything, which really seemed like it turned Ron around of, okay, now we have to get rid of Joe on this vote. And now Steven, that Joe with the flag, I was like, what is he doing? Why is he painting? Like, his life is on the line here, especially after he doesn't win the immunity. Why isn't he talking to people? But we saw when Joe got to Extinction Island, he said, hey, bro, I'm just like the phoenix on the flag.
Yeah.
Did Joe need to finish the flag before he could get voted out?
Wow. So that the myth of Joe could be complete.
He's like, this doesn't matter. All that matters is this masterpiece, because this is going to represent me. This is my sigil. I am the phoenix that will rise from the ashes on the edge of extinction. Was Joe almost resigned to go to the edge of extinction once he found out about it?
I don't know. I really do. Look, and I don't think there's no question that Joe should have played a little bit harder, right? Like, there's no question that when Ron asked him, who should I vote for? He should have come up with a name. He should have participated in the strategic flow a little bit. But I also think, like, I think Joe knows as well as we all know, there's very little that Joe can do to save himself. You know, I don't.
Ron, tell me anybody. I'll tell me who to vote for. Ron, no,
I agree. I'm not debating that. Yeah. I think that, like, there's no question that was a screw up. I just think, like, that screw up was part of a decent strategy. You know what Joe really needs, and this is, I think, a lot of the reason that Tyson was able to get so deep in Blood versus Water was that he injured himself. And that as a result, this, like, dominant physical competitor suddenly seemed less dominant. Joe needs to fake an injury. And pretend that he's
That did not work for him in Second Chances when he passed out in the challenge and then got voted out in the same episode.
Yeah, but that was he wasn't like injured. That was like he is willing to die to win an immunity challenge. You know, that was the opposite of an injury. Anyway, so yes, clearly Joe should have said something to Ron. Clearly he should have been a little bit more strategic.
He should have got it when he went out of that challenge. Like, he should have had the thing hit him on the head and then like, oh, and then, and then, is that what happened to him in Second Chances? And then like, oh my God, I'm concussed. I can't think clearly. Like, hey, why would you vote out Joe right now?
Right. He's so concussed. He can't think clearly.
He can't think clearly. He got the thing on his head. And so, that would be fantastic. Steven, can I talk about this from the perspective of the for the Lesu slash Manu people in terms of Kelly Wentworth here?
Yeah, why did they immediately turn on Devin?
Well, we only get to see 42 minutes, but I have no idea what Kelly Wentworth was doing here. I came into this episode feeling like, all right, here we go. We got the Lesu four. If they get Devin's back, pull over Joe and Aurora. You got seven now and you're in business.
Yeah.
And we get Devin's back. Kelly pulls in Joe and says, all right, time to get rid of David Wright and Devin's.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I think that's like play from the bottom attitude, right? That's like, how do I like burrow away? And that's, you know, that served her very well in Cambodia. You know, that's her mental state, maybe with Survivor. It's like, how do I burrow so that I like nobody can see me and play everyone against each other? And I think that's sort of where she's coming with this strategy, rather than like, how do I build the dominant alliance that can then take over?
Very astute observation. Now I didn't get, Kelly said in the episode tonight, when I looked over there, the one person that I said, oh, hell no, was Devin's.
I know. That's anybody? What I thought, too. Like, weren't they like, wasn't there this like love fest on Lesu when they had to vote him out and they were all like weeping and it was the most moving tribal council that anyone's ever seen?
You have Reem, who outwardly hates Kelly Wentworth, who thought that voting out Joe tonight was lame. I believe only because she wanted Kelly Wentworth to get voted out. Chris, no love for Kelly Wentworth. Keith, no love for Kelly Wentworth. Aubrey, okay. And Big Wendy, this is no love for Kelly Wentworth. Devins, it was a love fest. Kelly Wentworth said, what an emotional tribal council this is to get rid of Devins. And oh, hell no, we have to vote out Devins.
I mean, the only thing I can think is that she certainly knows how smart and charming Devins is. Like, that was their rationale for voting him out, was that he was a very dangerous player, potentially could flip, very sociable, very fun, and might have a vendetta against her for having been voted out. So
perhaps. See, what was the point?
The biggest threat out there.
That last week, this group was, we will go to rocks for each other, for Lesu. We will go to rocks to avoid, like, I'll pull a rock here to vote with my Lesu four. Right. And then we get to the merge. Like, all right, throw them under the bus. Who cares? David.
Yeah, exactly. It's nutty. It's like, it is like this sort of wild reversal of targeting David and Devins when, like you're saying, you know, they could have the numbers, especially with Joe. I mean, we immediately see Kelly and Joe talking to each other. If Kelly kind of, you know, she could have been that bridge.
Yeah, because Joe ultimately goes along with her plan. I don't understand where everything that we saw in the pre-merge was always David Wright talking about Kelly. Kelly, that from what I understand, felt like, OK, well, once you take out one returning player, that's going to start the avalanche. Why was she so gung ho? She was trying to sell to Joe, David Wright and Devins are going to come for you.
It was very strange, like very, you know, you've got all these, you know, they just saw Aubrey voted out. I mean, I think, you know, Wentworth wisely brought that up, but, it did seem like a real missed opportunity. Let's talk about Devins for a minute. Devins coming back. Devins is, you know, this big moment. And I wanted to hear your thoughts about that sort of two half idol.
Okay. We'll talk about that. And then I want to talk about the actual, the actual execution of the Edge of Extinction.
Let's do that first. Okay. That's just chronologically first.
Okay, chronologically. So, I thought this was really fun tonight. We started the episode, no previously on, boom, went right back into it. I can't recall a time that we've done that before on Survivor. So that's exciting. Jeff was very confident that this was going to land. Jeff sets everybody up like, all right.
Big grin on his face.
Like, sometimes on Survivor, we have iconic moments, and sometimes it takes years, and sometimes they happen right in front of us instantly. Like Jeff, like 155,000% confident this is going to land.
What's an example of an iconic moment that took years to become iconic? I couldn't think of one.
I think there's a lot of stuff that, you know, ends up in the funny 115 that becomes iconic years down the road.
Right. Okay.
So then I'm sure that's what Jeff was referencing. And then we bring everybody out. First off, everybody was so pumped up to watch this play out. Like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. Oh, wow. This is so cool.
I wish like they had logged if anybody guessed this, because I like thinking about it, like I cannot imagine guessing like, oh, maybe the returning players are coming back. Like that is so, I would never guess that.
I think Kelly said I knew it.
Yeah, but anyone can say I knew it. Like, but I want a log. I want the video interview where she said it.
Yeah. I thought you were done with logs. Okay, so we set this up and we're gonna have this big obstacle course, not just one thing a la like a Redemption Island challenge, a big obstacle course. Did you feel like this was fair? Did you like the actual
event? Yeah, it seemed like great. It was an obstacle
very
course.
Tense.
It was like there's like a puzzle, you know, the thingy, the lifting, yeah. The thingy.
So nuts. Then it came down to Chris had the disadvantage of the knots. Were the knots the difference between Chris getting back in?
It's possible. I mean, you know, he also like, didn't he sort of like drop it at the top anyway? So
he was racing. Maybe if he didn't have to do the knots, you would think that he would not be rushing through it as much.
I guess, but he also might have dropped anyway. I mean, it looked like a lot of people dropped right at that exact same spot. Yeah. So
it looked like Wendy had it. Aubrey got there first, but Wendy seemed like she mastered it. And you know, flashbacks to the premiere episode where it seemed, you know, we established that Wendy has Tourette's syndrome, and she makes these noises, and it seemed like that she was really, you know, fighting through a battle with, you know, these noises coming out.
Yeah, it was really beautiful, you know, to see her. Yeah, to see her kind of like incorporating the necessary motions from her tics into her working on the what do you call it? Is it a puzzle? What is it?
Yeah, I think it's balls in a snake.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then it looked like it was going to be Chris. And then ultimately, here comes Devins. Oh yeah, Devins is back in the game. And are you excited to have Devins back?
Oh my God, I love. I mean, Devins is one of my favorite contestants of all time. I love Devins. He's just like fun to watch. He has great interviews. He's a smart strategist. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Devins fan, and I was really bummed. I mean, I thought he was going to win. I still think he might win. So I think there's a really good shot for Devins to go all the way.
Okay. All right. So they send Devins back to camp. We stay with the Edge of Extinction people. And I don't know. When Jeff said, okay, well, Edge of Extinction is starting again. I thought that meant to be like, I was surprised that the people who were the original people were surprised to hear that they were going back. Like, I thought that Jeff was basically saying like, we're starting it again, but they went nuts when it, like, Jeff brought them down and then brought them back up.
Yeah, well, he really made it seem like this was their farewell. He kind of gave them all their moment, which it really, I mean, if I were them, I would have probably been like, I guess this is it. And I think it's not unusual for them to clear out, right? I don't remember exactly how it worked with Redemption Island, but I don't think,
it would be like one, like if you lost the duel, you were out on Redemption Island.
So I think it's not crazy that they, by the way, kudos to Devins, because in Survivor 22, Redemption Island, the episode that Matt Elrod came back, he was voted out. Andrea, the episode she came back, she was voted out. Ozzy in season 23, he was immune both times he came back, but then the next episode he was voted out. So for Devins to actually last an episode while not immune was really impressive.
Laura Morette, she did last for a bit when she came back.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Until she got voted out by her own daughter.
Oh my God. Oh my God. If Devin sees a child of his, he should run.
Yeah. Okay. So we are going to send every very pumped up. We're going back to the Extinction Island. Okay. Yeah. Great. I was gobsmacked. We went back to Extinction Island again. Like, we're back again. What, yeah. We just saw these people. Like, we've seen nothing with the main cast. We're back to Extinction Island, and we go right to Chris and Big Wendy raising the sail.
Yeah, I get it. You know what? This is the time that makes the most sense, because they see, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, really exciting to agree to this. And then you're like sitting on Extinction Island and you're like, I'm going to be here for 3 more weeks. Yeah. I'm probably still not going to get back in the game.
Yeah. So I said the other day with Josh Wiggler, we were talking about this. I said, you know what? Why doesn't Keith just raise the sail? Why doesn't he just go, like, if he doesn't win the thing, just raise the sail. And I said, if he does that, I'm not even going to be mad. I'm sure there's going to be the Survivor alumni are going to rake these two over the coals of like, I would never quit the game. All these
that
people,
Russell?
That's the voice of all of the, if I had a chance to get back in the game, you would never see me walk out. And I'm sure the Survivor social media will be loaded with 100 survivors with that take. But look,
so collectively, we sound sort of like Russell combined with a guy from Sling Blade.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's the come like when I played, it was hard and we didn't have so much food. And, and you know, it's a lot of that. And so, but for Wendy, you just got here. Like, how do you know you don't like it yet?
Yeah. But she is clearly not the most strategic. The only thing is now she's out of the running for the sea of money. And so I think to put Aubrey. Oh yeah. I mean, halfway in to quit. I don't think, I think Aubrey is now in the lead for the sea of money.
No, I think Wendy is so far out in front.
No, but she gives up and she's gone. She's out of sight, out of mind. Aubrey is there. I'm so plucky. I'm like down in the dumps every day.
You think you are going to get in Sia's good graces by throwing around the word plucky? I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, it would be interesting. Like, this would be a, you know, we don't have the exit interviews, but you're like, Wendy, why not hang out for a couple days and see, you know, I mean, you were friends with Reem, you know, why not see how it goes for a day or two there? But, Big Wendy, when she has her mind made up, that's it. She was going to go and she freed the chickens, and she was going to free Keith also from the edge of extinction, and now we're down to just 16 people in the running for the $1 million here in episode 7.
Yeah, like 2 months later, only 16 people left.
Yeah, okay. So just still working through all of the edge of extinction little wrinkles tonight. Then, so Rick Devins opens his bag and he gets the broken in half immunity idol.
What are you calling it? The broken idol. I like the
broken idol. Okay. Broken idol. And so here we go. Here's the twist for you, Rick Devins. Yeah. You get to have an immunity idol if you make it through this tribal council. And to do that, you have to give half to another person who is going to survive this tribal council. And I thought this was actually a very fun, interesting twist, Stephen.
I loved it because I think, you know, like we're saying, the person who comes back from Redemption Island in the past has been obviously a huge target. And I love that this gives the person who returns some power. I think just an immunity idol would be too much power. But what I think is great, and I think, you know, where these sort of twists and advantages are at their best is where there's a social component to them, where they encourage people to play the game and to, you know, and this gives Rick a tool, a way in, a way to build an alliance, a way to create leverage for himself, so that if he did come in with his giant target, which he sort of did, he would have some ability to like maneuver. And I think that's really cool for Survivor to give him a powerful object that he can use as a strategic tool.
but he has to get through that first vote. So he's got to get through that first one on his own. And the interesting thing is, so who does he talk to? You know, he's going to be somebody who's on the bottom, especially in the situation that he comes back in where he's part of this minority voting group where that they are seemingly going to have one of them picked off here by the larger comma group. So he ends up going and talking to David Wright about it, and kind of an all-in move because there's was a chance David Wright was going to be the person who goes home at this tribal council if it wasn't Devin's. And so that it is a gamble that ultimately ends up paying off. But you would think that did he have to do it by a certain time? Could he have waited to see how the immunity challenge played out and said, Julie, I want to share my
But well, Julie would have been a good one because Julie is someone who approached him.
Right.
Julie is someone who was clearly trying to build an alliance with him. My issue with David, and ultimately it's like, again, this is like splitting hairs. I think, you know, I think David is already your ally. You know, David is already on your side. And this is an opportunity for you to leverage this tool to build an alliance with somebody new.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, David, you completely trust. You know, if you do this half idle thing with someone you don't trust and they want to screw you over, you're really putting them yourself in their hands. But I, you know, clearly as the show intended it, this was meant as a way for Devin's to build a new alliance, and he didn't really do that. I don't really fault him for that. Mm-hmm. I think I probably would have done the same thing he did. But he really could have done it with someone like Julie.
Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of different ways that this could backfire. So, you know, you could have somebody like Devin say like, okay, well, let me find somebody who's safe and let me tell somebody in the majority alliance. So he could go and tell somebody like Julie, hey, okay, I have to share a secret with you. I got an idol when I came back from Extinction Island. If I make it through this tribal council, it becomes a whole idol. So I'm going to give you half tonight. And Julie says, we have to vote out Devin's tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
He has half an idol. And if he gets through this tribal council, he will have a full idol. And this is a good reason to vote him out. So yeah. I really do like the risk reward element involved with this. Yeah. And so, but it does end up in this crazy situation where now Devin's, Kelly, and Lauren have the three immunity idols and Kama has none moving forward. And this is just the kind of fourth dimensional strategy that these players need to account for. But Steven, what do you do in this situation? If you're the Kama six and based on like, you know, you're Ron or you're Julie and you're sort of like, do you have an idol? Okay. We don't have any idols. And as War Dog said, who he doesn't know where any of the idols are, but he's like, it's just like every season they think there's none of the idols, but they are out there. So what do you do when you're in an alliance and you don't know where any idols are?
Yeah, I think you have to assume that the other alliance has them. I think you do what they're doing, which is split the votes. And I think they're doing it so masterfully because they're having the other people split the votes for them. They're all voting together.
Yes, you know? But that's like, not going to work necessarily this week unless they could really like, okay, you know, all right, let's do the Aubrey plan. All right, Victoria, Julia, you tell Kelly Wentworth and Lauren it's a women's alliance is starting up this week and we're voting out somebody. We're voting out David Wright. And they're like, okay, fine, finally. And then, you know, have the comma six vote together. Like, you got to spin that group in another direction. I don't know if they're going to fall for it again.
Yeah. I mean,
trust there.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge, that's it. And that's actually part of why I think the voting out Kelly was worse than voting out Joe here. Like, Joe would have voted with you. Kelly is, you know, probably won't vote with you now that you've really screwed her over. If you'd kept Joe just on that, although apparently I'm the only person to ever be voted out other than Joe when Joe has been not immune after the merge.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting fact.
Yeah. Apparently, whenever Joe has been vulnerable, except once, he gets immediately voted out. So
you're his good luck charm.
I guess that's right. But to be fair, like that was whatever. We don't need to take that to detour, but that's what I was counting on, was that everyone would want to vote out Joe. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, still a lot of stuff to talk through. We're going to get to your questions. Steven, the hidden immunity idol that Devin's has gives him some insurance next week.
Yeah.
That he's going to be okay.
Well, he doesn't have it though, right? It's either him or David Habbitt. Like, they have to come together.
Yeah. So now it's like a Ty Trank, Scott Pollard thing where now they have to combine their two halves of the idol to make one.
Yeah. Except obviously it doesn't, it's not a super idol.
Yeah. Seems like they'll be able to get on the same page with that. But Stephen, that a lot of people are paying too much for their car insurance, and what they need to do, they need to raise the mast and quit paying so much for high priced auto insurance and get a hold of our friends over at AIS, the auto insurance specialists, who have the smart quote technology to shop dozens of dozens of companies and get the best rate. Stop having lame rates on high priced car insurance that you could be saving a lot of money in just 5 minutes time when you go to AISinsurance.com/Rob and check out whether or not you could be getting a better rate on a coverage that's the same or even better than what you might already have. Now, Stephen, you're not a big driver, right?
I don't have a car. I live in Rhode Island. I don't have a car.
Okay. Well, you should think about getting one because you could get a great deal on auto insurance with AIS. Go to AISinsurance.com/Rob or call 1-800-777-4AIS. Don't make your next insurance payment until you check your rates with AIS. It's the easiest thing you'll do and could save you a lot of money. AISinsurance.com/Rob. Okay.
That's very compelling. The reason I don't have a car is largely because insurance is so expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive and they're always trying to jack up the rates and stick it to you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our questions here.
All right. Taylor B wants to know, is this going to be a large jury?
We didn't even talk about the jury. Here we go. Oh, I'm so pumped up that we got our first off that this was something that came up on the podcast this past week. What are they going to do about the jury? Are they going to wait for the Edge of Extinction to end? And then those people, okay, great. Now you get to go be the jury. No, they're bringing the people in. And I think that this is the right decision. They're doing this correctly.
Yeah. My only objection is that, you know, we often hear complaints that, you know, people on the jury are people who have literally never played with some of the finalists. And that's going to be magnified here, right? Where, you know, Reem will have only played with people on the on the original Manu tribe, as will Chris.
Yeah.
And then Aubrey will have only played with,
but
I guess,
she hates them.
Well, that's the problem, though. It's not fair, right? Like, then you're voting on people.
Dude, who have... you know, it's not fair. Okay.
Reem. Yeah. Tell me.
I've been living on a shipwreck for 36 nights, dude. You think that's cool? No, it's cute. Super lame.
Tough. Yeah, that sounds tough.
She is going to be, I think that she has greatest juror of all time upside in Reem. Wonderful was that? The Joe Englund gets voted out. She's like, lame. Reem had so many, like, week after week, Reem just delivers again and again and again. And again,
even in the challenge, the Edge of Extinction challenge, like she brought so much personality to that challenge, you know, like one thing that you always hear as a writer is that you want your, like, whenever your character is experiencing something new, you don't just want to describe the thing that's happening. You want to describe it through the lens of, like, their unique character perspective. And, like, that is Reem more than anyone else. No matter what she is doing, she is being very Reem while she's doing it.
Yeah. She will never raise that mast. She will never quit. She might still be on the Edge of Extinction right now.
Yeah, she's like the Terminator.
She will never leave.
Yeah.
She set up shop there, and you cannot get her out of the Edge of Extinction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like the Keith didn't even say goodbye to Reem.
I assume they said goodbye before they raised the guy.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know what? I had a slight complaint, which some other people had as well. I would have really liked to have seen more how the question of the Edge of Extinction factored into the strategy discussions of the players, because you know that it did. You know they were thinking, like, what does Edge of Extinction mean? It is the season's big twist. And it's weird that it was just like, I mean, I know that there's a lot going on this episode, but I would have liked, like, one maybe gesture towards it during the strategy.
What about in terms of Joe versus Kelly? Does that factor in at all? Like, let's weaken Joe as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a big reason why you would do Joe over Kelly, is that, you know, you want, you know that he's going, you want to eventually vote him out. And so you want to do that with as much time as possible. So I guess that's a pretty compelling rationale for voting Joe out.
Okay. All right. This is a question from Paige. Can y'all clear up Rick's idol for me? Can it be used now as one idol during the next vote? Yes, absolutely. That as long as David Wright forks over his other half, then it can be used in the next vote. In terms of the what David Wright and was doing in this episode, he sort of did not get a ton of screen time, other than in terms of getting the idol from Devins. What about his game plan here tonight, Steve? We talked about the other two returning players, but David seemed like that he was the one. He did say, oof, that's a bad plan, in terms of when he learned that Kelly wanted to target Devins. Like, that is not good gameplay, which he was accurate about that. So he seemed content to pile on with Devins with the comma people against Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah, I think that, like, knowing that Kelly is coming for him, it makes sense for him to kind of be like, well, I'll jump into this thing, go with them, and wait for something else to happen. I mean, you know, comma six working well for this one vote, but six people is a lot of people in an alliance. That is a large number to take hold of, and especially when they are so dominant, where it's, you know, typically we see it all the time. You have a large dominant alliance. It splits into factions, and it would be
especially
shocking.
They've been living 3-3 for a couple of weeks. Or at least, you know, 7 days or whatever in the
game.
And
they had this one target, these two targets with Aubrey and Joe, and they got rid of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now it's like only natural that they would turn on each other.
But in terms of where David Wright's head was at, Stephen, that could David have gone to once that he got word that that was Kelly's plan? We saw Christian do this unsuccessfully last season, where he tried to mend the fence with Nick and try to get back on the same page with Nick. Could David have gone to Kelly and talk it through of we can't turn on each other. We don't have the numbers that if we can pull in Joe, we have Rick now, we can vote as a seven.
The problem is with that specific move, it's like, of course she's going to agree with you. Then she knows you're wise to her plan. And I don't know. I think the trust is already gone.
What good does it do for David to then have Kelly out of the game? In the same way, what good does it do for Kelly to have Devins out of the game? Good does now David Wright, what good does it do him to now be sort of like the, like they're not going to forget about him as like an extra number as part of the comma six?
But Kelly is actively targeting him. So like you want the people who are trying to vote you out, you want them out of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's established.
I play the game, Steven. I play the game of like, let's mend fences.
Well, I think it's just so dangerous. And, you know, and especially with someone like Kelly, I think that, you know, you go to her, she's going to agree with you. Yeah, of course. And then she's still going to do the thing or she's, you know, you just can't trust her at that point. And I think for David, I agree. Like if for Kelly to have immediately turned on him, like why keep her around? You know, she's immediately coming. You know, she's coming for you. These other people are not coming for you. And, you know, I think the hope is you just go down until you're the swing vote between that group.
I just feel like that the survivor precedent in the history is so robust on this, where it's like, yeah, we can target each other. We're both going to lose. Like we need to work together. We have a bigger problem than me and you and our little spat from the pre-merge. Like we have an opportunity here to take out this imminent threat, which is the other side. Like, yeah, okay. You might get, I'll be 13th place and you'll be 11th place.
You don't have to convince me that it's not good for them to target each other. Yeah. And I'm sure you don't have to convince David either. It's not a question of like whether it's the right move. It's clearly not the right move. The question is like, once you know that Kelly is already coming for you, what can
you're saying that you can't cut a wire in the bomb.
I just think that like it's too I think it increases your risk. You know that someone is actively targeting you when nobody else is. And if you go to that person and tell them, then A, you, they're obviously going to lie to your face. B, you, you know, the intermediary who is protecting you is then furious at you. So all you've really done is like lose another relationship, yeah, or certainly jeopardize another relationship. And when it's a game where you really are trying to subsist week to week to some degree, obviously you want to be able to put some grand strategy into place, but ultimately it comes down, how do I get through this tribal council? I think like blowing up the one person who's helping you is not the way to do that.
Yeah. It would be interesting if we got to see sort of Lesu talk about what they were doing going into this vote. Like, because you would imagine that, you know, Kelly and David were having a conversation with Wardog and Lauren, yeah, about like, okay, what are we doing today?
What's the fake plan? Yeah. Yeah. That would have been fun.
We didn't
see.
Get to find that out. Maybe we'll find that out in the secret scene. Okay. Gregory McBean, Stephen, what does he have to say?
All right, Gregory, you want to know, so how does this work in terms of placement? Does Keith get 18th since he was voted out before Wendy? No idea. Man.
Check the Survivor Wiki tomorrow. We'll see what it says. We'll see what it says. Okay. Challenge All-Star. Does this mean no Ponderosa videos this season? I don't believe there will be Ponderosa videos.
It'll just be Keith and Wendy hanging out for weeks on end.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be surprised if that was the case.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. All right. What does Nikki have to say?
All right, Nikki Hickman, what should Aurora do at this point now that she is just in an alliance of herself? Is there any hope at all for her for the rest of the game?
Okay.
Well, I think we're in agreement, right? That the other six should come together. They should say, like, basically. So I actually think, to your point that you said earlier, you know, can David go to Kelly? I think now he can go to Kelly. I think it would have been way too dangerous with the vote looming. You know, immunity challenge has already passed. You know they're coming for you. You don't want to screw it up. But I think now after that vote, he can go to Kelly and be like, hey, let's fix this.
Okay, but now you've played with Kelly. You know her to some degree in terms of how she plays the game. How does Kelly respond to that? You know, David Wright just voted for her at this tribal council now.
Yeah. Okay. I had a lot. I mean, this, I can only speak to my subjective experience. I had a lot of trouble. I went to Kelly a couple of times and said like, hey, let's work together. Like we're similar. We have similar, we processed the game similarly.
Both have glasses.
Yeah. Both, you know, both love Rob Sestrinino, both fans of RHAP. Mm-hmm. And she agreed, was very enthusiastic. And then, you know, immediately went and told her allies and then it got back to me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, can't trust that person, you know, not going to do that anymore. So, I mean, my experience of those conversations was that her perspective was that the ship had sailed on that, on those things. But also like I didn't have the history that she and David had, you know, David and she were together for weeks. And, I don't know.
Yeah. Now it's interesting also this week that a week from tonight that it's 6-6. So you would think that, if it's going to be a stalemate, comma six will go to rocks before anybody from this, you know, suicide squad of all these people that voted against each other tonight ever will.
Yeah. It is really crazy. Cause you said like last week that group was going to rocks for each other. And now suddenly they can't, you know, they're all against each other.
Yeah. They had a common enemy then and they have one now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Gavin? Is it Gavin?
Gavin is, they have one now, not Gavin.
Who's the common enemy?
Comma. It's a common
enemy. Oh, the common. The comma. I miss it.
I love
it.
Comma. Yeah. Okay. Faux pas says, I think this was intentional. I believe many of the contestant strategies have changed knowing the twist. Getting out social/gameplay players to voting out the strongest so that they have to compete with each other. There is a premium now on the physical threats. Agree? Now, is this in terms of voting out Joe or this was in terms of the pre-merge?
I think this was voting out Joe. I think it's the question is the idea that there's a premium, meaning that there is a premium. Like you more want, yeah, I think that's right. You want the physical players to have to compete with each other on Edge of Extinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel that's like, a good point. So Steven, could Joe now all of a sudden it's day 19. Okay. Joe gets voted out. Is this the wake up call for Joe Anglem here of that? He's going to go there. He's going to fish. Him and Chris will be there, like bringing down dolphin, but probably not dolphins. What, large fish,
whales,
and whales. and eating. They'll come back. They've gained now 5 pounds on the edge of extinction.
Yeah. That would be a dream. It'd be cool. Like, I mean, that's sort of how Ozzy did Redemption Island, right? Yeah. Was that he just like totally nature boyed it out. I mean, Joe is like that. I don't know if he's like that to the extent that Ozzy is like that.
Yeah. Well, Ozzy's plan on Redemption Island was that, hey, I'm going to, you know, go out there. I'll cook a fish for every single person that comes through. I'll make them have like good feelings about me. And then I will dispatch them in the challenge and send them off on their way so that when they go to the jury, they will have like their last impression of me will be a very positive one. And so that was going to work for Ozzy. And now what if Joe Anglim goes to the edge of extinction, is the provider in chief for everybody, and people are just gaga for Joey Amazing? Oh, he doesn't have to hide being Joey Amazing on the edge of extinction.
Yeah. I mean, if he can do it, I don't know if he's ever been like a crazy good fisherman, you know, in the way that, again, like that Ozzy was like, I'm trying to think if he's ever been like a huge fisherman.
I think he's okay.
Just because he's got long hair doesn't make him a great fisherman.
He literally caught fish last week on the show. And then Ron was like, I don't know if I want to get rid of Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, he has not brought back like a all-time record fish yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's good. I think he's good. I just wasn't sure if he's, you know, Ozzy level fisherman good.
Yes. Okay. That he's not fishy award winning.
I mean, you know, I'm always happy to give Joe a fish.
Who do you give a fishy to tonight?
You want to guess?
I will say that you gave it to Julie.
That's right.
Yes. Why? Yeah. Because she won the immunity?
No, immunity has nothing to do with it. I thought that she did a great job recruiting Devins, and she sort of seemed to be the key one who was kind of turning Devins and David against Keith and against the Lasso 3. And I thought that was sort of her move. I basically agreed with her about Wentworth. And even more than that, you know, I really agreed with her point that, hey, it doesn't really matter who we vote for as long as we vote together. So I thought she had a really great night, and the immunity win was the cherry on top.
Yeah. By the way, Stephen, Mike Holloway in the chat says Joe's a better fisherman than Ozzy for sure.
Wow, for sure. Okay, yeah. There we go.
There you go. So we get the instant fact check from our Survivor alumni.
Feel like he would know.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Stephen, Survivor rules, PJR. So what do you think of it if someone goes to Extinction Island, becomes buddies with all these potential jury members, then gets to go back in the game? Plus, they were at Tribal to listen to the dynamics of the ongoing. I mean, that's exactly the Ozzy plan.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
I mean, that was the reason why I picked Joe Anglim as the winner of the season. I mean, so far, this has gone, you know, completely to form. First individual immunity challenge, that Joe doesn't win. He gets voted out. And now we have to see if the prophecy holds true. Does Joe now turn it on the edge of extinction to the point where now he becomes the provider? He establishes all this goodwill and then eventually comes back in the game, wins a challenge or two, makes a fire if he needs to, and then goes on. And I mean, that Ozzy needed to beat Sophie in that challenge. If this was modern day Survivor, Ozzy would be making a fire against Albert or something like that.
Oh, that's a really interesting point. Wow. Wow. Ozzy would have smoked that. That's crazy. Ozzy would have 100% won that.
Right. So things are different with the fire making challenge.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, right. I'd be retroactively furious if I were Ozzy.
Yeah, he should be. Okay. All right. This is a question from Kat, Stephen.
All right. Kat wants to know, why was Lasso so quick to alienate Rick and David? Given that they're in the minority, shouldn't they be trying to gather as many numbers as they can? Seems like a short-sighted strategy. What do you think here, Rob?
Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, maybe might get a secret scene from Kelly Wentworth where she's explaining why she was so anti-Devins, but it doesn't make sense based on what we've seen strategically. And just going back to that tribal council, it was like, oh, we're such a family. And it's not like that Devins came back to the challenge tonight with the die jerks, I hate Kelly Wentworth buff on his head. Like he was like, you guys voted me out. I love you guys. Like he had the most pleasant goodbye from the game. And yeah, we talked about that night also, that David Wright in that tribal council, I think that David had to have known that that Devins was going to be going out, and that I believe War Dog told Kelly and Lauren what was up, and then was sort of like we'll see how it goes at tribal council. I think David, with his survivor experience, has to know War Dog is probably not going his way. He votes with Devin, you know, trust is my brand, and that gets paid back in spades tonight.
Yeah, yeah, no question. I did not totally agree with you then. I do not totally agree with you now that David.
Why start today?
Yeah, but clearly that David's longstanding relationship with Devins is paid back, and clearly it was a mistake for the other Lesus to immediately target him. Honestly, like, part of the reason I thought Devins was coming back was because of the way that tribal council was presented, where it was such a love fest. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, they're obviously kind of setting up this big reunion with Devins and the Lesu group. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that, not the case.
That makes sense. But it makes sense in terms of him being like, hey, don't like, we gotta, you know, don't forget about this character. Like, we gotta give him a real hero send off, cause he's going to be back. Okay.
Well, and Andy got a send off where it didn't look like it was his fault, right? Like, it didn't look like he did anything wrong. It just looked like, you know, this was the sad nature of this group and they had to choose someone. Anyway, all right, Elizabeth wants to know, can you discuss the peanut gallery during the Edge of Extinction challenge? You had War Dog cheering multiple times for Devins. Kelly leaped off the bench when Devins won. Most of the Kama tribe was supporting underdog Keith, and Kama noting Aubrey's fire. Loved it.
Yeah, I don't know. They were really into it. You know, it, much different than in Pearl Islands, when the Pearl Islands main players saw the reveal of the Outcast twist. They were not happy. They were like, everybody in the game was like, yay, oh, this is great. I think as Jeff hyped it up of like, this is an iconic Survivor moment. You don't want to have a puss on your face for this.
Yeah, yeah. I also think there's an element of like, now there's just a much bigger expectation of like crazy twists and wild things happening. Whereas back then the game was like somewhat straightforward, right? There were no immunity idols. There was like a swap, and that was basically it. And then so for some giant twist, you're like, this is not the game that I signed up for. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, you know, in like Calvin Ball Survivor, it's like, yeah, of course this is the game I signed up for. Like, anything could happen on any day. Like, maybe they're gonna like parachute in, you know, the winners of the last 10 seasons tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be something. That's BS. You know, Survivor parachute, that's a good one.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that. All right, yeah. Steven, what about spicy wasabi? Which relationship is the strongest in the game?
I think of the ones we've seen. I mean, you know, there's probably a lot of strong relationships in that common group, right? That we're not aware of. Like the Gavin Eric relationship is probably pretty strong.
Gavin Eric seems tight.
Julia Ron probably decently strong, right? I don't know. They had their
It's hard to say that. I mean, Julie and Julia could be super tight for all we know.
Right. Yeah. You know, we certainly know that Devins and David are very tight. We know that Lauren and Wentworth are really tight.
Yeah, I think it's probably the three that you mentioned that we've seen. I think Lauren and Kelly, David and Devins, and Gavin and Eric. Those seem like the three that have been somewhat established.
Yeah, those are the three that we've gotten the most on-screen credit for sure.
Here, let's skip this next question, Scott. We already talked about that. Okay. This is a good question from Henry. The most important thing we need, we know now about this season, is that we are getting a Reem final tribal council speech. How legendary will it be?
That's a really great point, Henry.
Well, look, Reem could be in the final three. Okay. Henry, first off,
maybe that's what he meant. Dude, final tribal.
When it's the final tribal council, I'm telling you right now, don't even call. Don't talk to me. It's going to be so not lame.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Yeah. We love you, Reem. I love you, Reem. If I have another child, Stephen, Reem will be its name.
Reem Sesternino.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Sesterimo.
Yeah, Reem Sesterimo. That's what we're going with. I will change my name to Rob Sesterimo on Twitter. Okay. So, Steve, what does Brock have to say?
All right, Brock has it. If Aubrey had made it back into the game, do you think we would have actually seen the four returnees working together? Or is that just fan fiction? I did notice like a lot of like Aubrey, David eye contact.
Yeah, so I think that Aubrey and David are you know, tight. I've been in social situations with the two of them. Like they're friends, David and Aubrey. And I thought that Aubrey, had she come back into the game, I think that she could have been the bridge between the David and Kelly side of things and the Joe. I think that she could have got all of the returning players on the same page of like, guys, These first-time players, don't underestimate them. They're good. We need to work together. You know, we need to vote together at this tribal council. And I think that would have been a different story.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That would have been interesting. I mean, that would have been a really interesting wrinkle to have, you know, a really strong strategic counterbalance to this sort of comma group.
Okay.
Which we haven't really seen. You know, I think David is obviously really, really, like, you know, knows the game as well as anybody, but you know, he wasn't really in a position tonight to anything about that.
Okay, let's do one more question here with Steven. All right, here's a question from Guto.
All right, Guto wants to know, how can David be so comfortable going against Kelly when he's in the minority tribe? Returning players are dropping like flies, and Julie doesn't even think he's worth her time, and he has to find out the plan through Rick. Too few clues yet.
I mean, I don't know if David was comfortable. I think that basically that his option was either, you know, we talked about one other option of potentially like trying to get back on the same page as Kelly Wentworth. But I think that the more straightforward plan was what he ultimately went with was, hey, the comma people are telling Rick it's going to be Wentworth. Let me just tack my vote onto that and hopefully they forget about me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. So,
we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. And he's, you know, his ability to like blend into the background obviously worked really well on Manu, and hopefully can work well again.
We'll see. All right. I'm very excited to see where this is going to go. All right. Let's talk about what else is coming up here on Rob is a Podcast. Okay. On Thursday, Taryn Armstrong will be back live to talk about everything that was going on in the Big Brother Canada house. We're getting ready for a double eviction on Thursday night, Steven. I know you're pumped up. Double eviction night in Big Brother Canada, one of your favorite nights of the year. Second only to the triple eviction.
Big Brother Canada, if I were to watch a second reality TV show, that would be the one.
Yes. Okay. Steven, over on News AF, another one of Steven's favorites. Steven actually had found a story for News AF right before we came on the air. Steven, have you done the Florida Man Challenge?
I did, but it, you know, now, I mean, I think I, you know, I saw on News AF how basically what I think it was Tyson said was that now all the Google searches for Florida Man Challenge are just hit for the Florida Man Challenge. Oh, yeah. Oh, are you surprised that I heard that?
Yes. No, I'm shocked.
That's great. Yeah.
Shocked. I might pass out right now.
Yeah. How about that? Nice try and try to gotcha me with your Ali Lashers and Mike Blooms and Barassis.
yes. Okay. All right. So there you go. That's over on News AF with Tyson Daly. And then Randy Bailey will be my guest on Thursday afternoon. Send your questions in, survivor@robhaswebsite.com. You can also leave a voicemail for Randy, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Of course, over on our Rehap Ups feed, our Survivor podcast feed, Why Joe Lost with David and Jessica. They'll get into everything, talk about what Joe did wrong. And of course, Antonio Mazzaro is going to be on the RHAP B&B. Be on the lookout for Antonio Mazzaro on the Merge episode of the B&B with Mike and Liana, not Mike Barassi. Haley Mike. Strong will be my guest on this week's feedback show. So get your feedback questions in for Haley. We're recording that one on Friday afternoon this week. Yes. And Scott Chernoff, Survivor podcaster, TV writer, will join us on the weekend to talk about the weekend Survivor and all the Survivor social media. And Josh Wiggler is ready for a Merge episode Wiggle Room, and we'll get into everything on the Wand Off this week. So another jam-packed week here on RHAP. Of course, Steven, it's all made possible by the patrons of Rob has a podcast. We are 5 years going strong. The people that love all of these shows, and as much as you and I do, we're all together. Rob has a website.com/patron. Become a part of our Rob's Podcast patron community. Get access to, last night I went almost 4 hours live.
Oh, God. Wow.
On our monthly Rob is a Podcast patron cast.
What were you talking about by hour four?
So I sit here in this chair, and then the patrons call me up and talk to me and ask me questions.
Oh, that's fun.
For 4 hours. Yes.
Well, what's a sample question? Is it like a personal question or is it like a strategic
Rob, Rob, I have a question. What's Steven Fishback really like?
Come on. We agreed you wouldn't tell anybody.
It's just like imagine like the nicest person you ever met. All sorts of stuff like that.
In reverse. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So all sorts of behind the scenes questions and stuff that. Robiswebsite.com/patron. Okay. Steven, here we are at the merge. Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it. I can't. Yes. You know what I can't believe, Rob? 2 weeks. Nope. 3 weeks. You and I are going to be together face to face
in Philadelphia. Very excited about that. Steven, if people haven't checked it out, on Rob and Akiva need a podcast this week. Of course, the podcast where we spin a wheel of podcast ideas. We did a TV theme song bracket, which ended up going over 3.5 hours on the TV theme song bracket with myself,
that's really fun,
Kiva Winokur and Alexander Chester. And
people love that. All of these podcasts, I see, like, people love them. It fills me with jealousy. I'm like, how, you know, it's just, you know, what about
why you don't hear that about the people that listen to the Paraphrase podcast, like Nick Iadanza?
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously Paraphrase is like the top rated podcast, but you know, there's a lot of other ones out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, look,
you created something magical, Rob. I guess that's what I'm trying to say here.
I'm just very happy that I get to talk about things that I love, and there are actually people who are interested in listening, and it is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. So pretty good.
And the best part of it all is I get to talk to Steven Fishback week after week.
Is that sort of why you started this podcast? Was just to like have a venue to chat with me?
To chat with you? I mean, I started it probably earlier on before we chatted a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Before we chatted a lot. That's right.
Yes. But I mean, this is amazing to me that here we are. How many years into doing the Survivor Know-It-Alls at no point have you even like said, you know what, this is it. This is my last one.
Yeah. I can't believe that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's all fun. It's like a fun podcast. Even if I stop watching Survivor, I'm going to keep talking about
it. Keep doing it and keep writing the people blog also.
Yeah. It's all right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Steven Fishback is on Twitter. He's at Steven Fishback. Go be sure to check out Steven's blog over at people.com and check out the Paraphrase podcast as well.
Yeah. A little late this week, we got there were some audio troubles. Yeah, I don't have this amazing audio setup that you do. So we're having some audio difficulties on the latest episode, hoping to get it up in the next couple of days.
Okay. All right. It'll be worth the wait.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So looking forward to getting into everything. And I just hope that if my mom is watching, I don't know if she makes it this far into the Know-It-Alls. I hope she's doing okay. She's a huge Joe Anglim fan. That's her favorite Survivor player is Joe Anglim. She loves Joe Anglim.
Wow. Well, what she must have thought of you.
I don't know. You know, I think she likes me, but
I probably so.
Yeah, you know. But Joe Anglim, I talked to her last week. I said, "Mom, did you feel bad for Aubrey?" That you know, after she's like, oh, I felt really bad for Joe and all these people. That the other players were talking about getting rid of him. That's how she felt. She didn't feel as bad about Aubrey.
It's interesting. Like Joe had very little presence. Like I feel like having been there, like he's a really very well-spoken guy. You know, I think he was one of the people who Jeff would always go to at tribal council to be like, "Hey, Joe, like put this into terms for us." And Joe would always have like a really good answer that really like sort of what Jeff was looking for. He, you know, has a lot of insights into the game. I didn't feel like we got a lot of that this season so far.
I mean, really, if this was like some alternate universe, Joe is a first time player, has everything else exactly the same this season. I think we're do we know anything about Joe?
Yeah, very little. Very, very little this season. Yeah,
he got the least amount of screen time for any of the returning players by far. But the question is this the end of his story or is this the beginning?
Well, we know that he finished the flag, right? Did he finish the flag?
He finished the flag and like the flag that he will rise from the ashes like a phoenix. He's from Arizona. It all makes sense. Did you know that the phoenix is the official animal of Arizona?
No.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
Huh. Because of the city? Or is it like the other way around?
They named the city because of the animal.
Ah, I thought it was a scorpion.
No, Phoenix. Phoenix, Arizona. Hmm. Okay. All right, everybody. I will leave you with that tonight. Okay? Okay. Scott St. Pierre, thank you so much for all your work behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye, everyone. Super fun.
Bye. Survive the know-it-all. Special thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. 60 seconds, that's exactly how long this commercial is going to last. You know what else you could do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it could take you to floss your teeth, pet your dog, pet chickens, or listen to the sound of my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or from home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter the license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. And after that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions and get the answers you need so there's no surprises. And then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. Hold on, Steven. Don't say anything incriminating. I can't find my... I think my mouse battery, my trackpad may have died out. I think I need to manually go to the computer and turn off the live stream tonight. Okay, hold on. This is embarrassing. See, you say you have audio problems. I have to actually go over to the computer over here and turn this off. Okay, yeah. So hang in there. Hang in there. Fill some time for a second.
Oh my
God. Riff for a minute.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh my, there's so much pressure. What am I going to say? Oh my God. I can't handle this. This is too much. I totally flubbed, Rob. I totally flubbed.
Okay, all right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.